morning. There we go. If we have not met yet, my name is Bennett Ellison. I'm the pastoral intern here at Church of the Cross, and I'm grateful to be here with you this morning. Hey, Bradley, is it okay if I move this?
I didn't do it.
Y'all know I get moving up here sometimes, so I got to be careful. I don't want to mess anything up.
I'll never hear the end of it.
Yeah, all good. Thank you. Our appointed text for this Sunday morning comes from Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 through 29. I'm reading out of the ESV, Colossians 1, 21 through 29. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I'm filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Can we pray together? Almighty God, we gather this morning as your body, your bride, the church. And Father, you promise your presence to us in a special way when we gather in your name. And so, Lord, I'm asking that you would reveal yourself to us because you're already here. You're already working and moving, and there's so much more you want to do. So, Lord, would you allow us, give us the grace to empty ourselves, to turn the eyes of our hearts to see you this morning, to open our ears, to not to hear Bennett's thoughts, Bennett's ideas, those fade. But Holy Spirit, when you speak, you awaken the sleeper. You change the heart of stone into a heart of flesh. And you, Holy Spirit, give new life. So Lord, we're asking you to do what only you can do in this time. And Father, I ask that as I teach this text, you would allow me to teach it with accuracy, and that as I preach the word, you would allow me to preach it with authority by the power of your Holy Spirit. And he who has ears, let him hear. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. In case you're not aware, we are in the middle of our summer discipleship series here at Church of the Cross. And every Wednesday night from 6 to 8 p.m., we gather in this room, in our gym, for a discipleship series. And the way, what that looks like is, we'll gather at 6, we have a great meal, we have one of our clergy do a teaching, and then we break out in small groups for discussion. And shameless plug, it's not too late to join. I hope you'll join us for the rest of this month, Wednesday nights, if you're free. And this past Wednesday night, Father John Collins led us in a fantastic teaching in an overview of God's redemptive story. That all throughout the scriptures, God is working this masterful plan of redemption. And it starts with creation. And then Father John moved us through the narrative to the fall in the garden, to redemption in the person of Christ, and ultimately, redemption. And restoration, I should say, the last step, restoration. It was a great teaching, and after the teaching, we split up into our small groups, and there was a table in the back that had some follow-up questions. And so they raised their hand, and I was able to go and talk with them, and they said, hey, have a seat. I said, okay. So I sit down, and they said, we have some questions. And I love questions, especially about theology. So we started unpacking some ideas. They had some questions like, so where are the angels in the creation story? You ever wondered that? In Genesis 1, we don't see the mention of angels. So where are the angels in the creation story? Then we started asking questions like, where did this deceiving serpent come from? Right, he's in the garden. He seems like kind of this evil opposing character of God. Why is he there? Where did he come from? Great question. Even bigger question, why is there a talking serpent? Since when do serpents talk? What do we do with that? Great question. My favorite question that I put forward in the group was, I wonder if Adam and Eve had belly buttons. Because, you know, let the reader understand, you know. And so we had this time just to discuss these theological questions, and we came to this conclusion that sometimes the text leaves us with questions. Sometimes the story of God leaves us wanting more. And it is inviting us into the mystery of what God is doing. And one of the men in the group said, I agree, there is a lot of mystery when it comes to the text and what God is doing. And then he said this, but here's the tension, here's the issue. We don't like mystery. We want to have the facts. I completely agree. We want it black and white. We want to make sure that we understand what's going on and that we understand fully. We don't want to be ignorant. We definitely don't want to be believing the wrong things. We want to make sure we're right. But what do we do with mystery? And maybe on a bigger scale in your life, maybe there are moments where it feels like what God is doing in you or around you is hidden. Maybe you're in the season right now where you look around and you're like, where is God's hand in this situation? I wonder what he's doing, and perhaps we question if he's even present. And ultimately, friends, we can wrestle with this question. I think this summarizes all of this. Where do we place our hope when God's work in our life seems hidden in mystery? Where do we place our hope? Where's our footing? Where's our foundation? Where do we turn to when God's work in us and around us seems hidden in mystery? St. Paul, in our text today, helps us wrestle with this tension. And Paul is no stranger to the mysteries of God in Scripture. He actually will tell us in this text that he's a minister to the church, to the saints, and part of his job is to help us fully understand the depth of the mystery of God's word. And he says, there's a lot of mystery in there. What God's been doing is hidden, but then he turns the corner and says, but now the mystery's been revealed. Here's how he puts it in verses 25 through 28. I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known. There's an implication there that there's more that we don't know at the moment, right? The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints, that is the church, all those who have faith in Christ Jesus. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery. Here it is. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I love this next line. Him we proclaim. He's our message. He's our proclamation. And there it is, friends. You want to know the mystery that God is up to? You want to know the mystery, the hidden things that God has been doing since the beginning of creation? Paul says, look to Jesus. Look to Christ. He is the mystery of God that is now revealed. And he is our message. It's him that we proclaim with our lives. Now, what I want to do to kind of reiterate this and emphasize this and show you how Paul is saying it's all about Christ. If we zoom out a little bit from our passage, our text today is verses 21 through 29 of chapter 1. But if we go back a little bit into chapter 1, you'll see Paul is introducing us to many more mysteries, Almost every verse has a beautiful theological mystery in it. And in the midst of the mystery, Paul wants us to see it's all about Jesus. I just want to show you a few examples. Verse 15, Christ is the image of the invisible God. That throughout the whole Hebrew scriptures of our Old Testament, it says that no one has seen God face to face. Yet Paul is saying, when you've seen Jesus, you've seen God. Verse 16, all things were created by Christ, through Christ, and for Christ. That means that Jesus is not just this human that popped up one night in Bethlehem. Christ has been there since the beginning. He has been directly involved in all of creation. Verse 17, in Christ, all things hold together. Oh, I love this. Every molecule, every atom, every breath you breathe, all of it is held together by the power of Christ. Apart from him, there would be nothing. Verse 18, Christ is the head of the church. That means Father Chuck is not the head of the church. That means our bishop is not the head of the church. That means Pope Leo XIV is not the head of the church. Christ is the head of his church. Verse 19, the fullness of God is pleased to dwell in Christ. Just wrestle with this mystery for a moment. God is outside of creation. All of creation cannot contain God. He's bigger than that. Yet in the person of Jesus, the fullness of God is pleased to dwell there. All in him. Verse 19, the fullness of God. Oh, I already said that. Verse 20, this is probably my favorite. God is reconciling all things unto himself through Christ. I don't know, friends, if there's a clear picture of hope in all of Scripture. Through Christ, God is reconciling all things unto himself. And if these mysteries do not yet cause the heart to adore Christ, if these mysteries do not yet spur our hearts to want more of him, Paul says, here's a great mystery. Here's another mystery that's been hidden for generations past. Here's the great mystery that's been hidden for ages. This Christ who was there in creation, this Christ who holds it all together, this Christ lives in you. For all of us, friends, who have put faith, our faith in Christ and have become part of his church, the promise of God to you is that this Christ lives in you. And let me just invite you, if you have not put your faith in Christ, if you have not become part of the church, I want to invite you. These promises can become yours. May it be so for all of us. So, where do we turn to when the activity of God around us seems hidden? We look to Jesus, and he becomes our proclamation. He becomes our message. He becomes our focus. And what I want to do today, very briefly, is undergo a daunting task. I want to try to unpack that mystery a little bit. And just to preface, we're not going to get to the depths, the bottom of the mystery. We can't get to the bottom of God. Yet I believe there's some truths here that can help us understand the reality of this mystery. A few ideas for us. The first one is this. The hiddenness of Christ is not the absence of Christ. The hiddenness of Christ does not mean the absence of Christ. In our text, Paul uses this language of a mystery that's been hidden and is now revealed. Notice, it's not an equation that we have to solve. It's not some abstract idea out there. No, Paul is saying it's a present reality that's been hidden. And it needs to become revealed. I'm from Georgia, Noonan, Georgia, on the south side of Atlanta. And in Noonan, I have a dear family friend named Jill. And Jill has this beautiful historic house in downtown Noonan. And a few years ago, a tornado came through our town and destroyed much of our town. It was really tough. And especially for Jill, her house took a lot of damage and needed to undergo a renovation. One of the rooms specifically that needed renovating was her kitchen. And so the plan was to take out everything, rip up the flooring, lay down new flooring, get new appliances, do the whole nine. Well, that was the plan. In Jill's kitchen, the top layer of her floor, there's this material that was new to me called linoleum. You know, it's funny. At the 9 o'clock, they laughed too. I didn't mean for that to be a joke. For folks around my age, linoleum is this covering, this plastic covering on the floor. And sure enough, they went to go remodel the kitchen. They started tearing up this linoleum, and they were shocked by what they found underneath. The remodelers were not expecting it. Jill was not expecting it. But underneath this linoleum was the original 1939 heart pine wood flooring that was there when they put the house together. And the remodelers, they saw this and they're like, oh, we're not going to touch this. We're not going to put in a new floor. This wood, this heart pine, is nicer and more valuable than any of the new stuff that we'd put in. So they put their energies towards renovating and cleaning up this wood. And to this day, Jill's floor in her kitchen is the beautiful 1939 original heart pine wood flooring. Why do I bring this up? Because every single day, Jill walked in her kitchen and she saw the linoleum. But what was there the whole time was the 1939 heart pine. It was present, yet it was covered. It just needed to be revealed. But it was there the whole time. And I came this morning to encourage the soul who looks around in your life and it feels like God is hidden. The promise of God is that our Savior Christ was there in the beginning, that he's been present and working in God's redemption story for all of time. And he will redeem and restore all things, reconcile all things back unto himself. Even though you might not see him in his hand right now, his hiddenness does not mean his absence. Perhaps he's closer than you can imagine right now. May we be a people, friends, who say, Lord, I know you're present. I don't see it right now, but my proclamation is that Christ is in me, the hope of glory. You are working, you are present. And just because I don't necessarily see it the way I see it, the way I want to see it, your hiddenness does not mean your absence. He's more present than we could ever imagine. The last idea I want to leave with you is this. Because Christ in you is God's promise, Christ in you is your proclamation. Because Christ in you is God's promise to you, Christ in you becomes your proclamation. In verse 27 is where we have the mystery revealed. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then 28, Paul turns the corner and says, because Christ is in us, that's the mystery. Now, verse 28, it's him we proclaim. This is the new message for us who are in Christ. We proclaim him. And this is a mystery, friends. We're talking about mystery today. I want to bring to your mind another mystery that is a core part of the Christian faith, and that is the mystery of the sacrament of baptism. Next week, we have our river baptisms over at the historic campus on the bluff in the afternoon. Baptism and the Lord's Supper, by the way, the Eucharist, these are two of our chief sacraments, and in it, God is present and God is doing something. In case you're not familiar, as Anglicans, we here at Church of the Cross, we follow this Book of Common Prayer. This Book of Common Prayer is what guides us in our prayers, how to pray. This book guides us in our worship services, in the structure. This book guides us in our understanding of God and how he works. And what I want to do for us today, in light of next week's baptism, I pulled from this book directly a few of the mysteries of baptism that are ours by faith, that God promises to us. I just want to read a few of these to you, straight from the Book of Common Prayer. Baptism is where we are grafted into the church. It's the on-ramp. Baptism is God's promise of forgiveness of sin. Baptism is where we are born again and receive adoption as the children of God. And this quote directly, "You are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever." I love that. And I want us to see, friends, if we can just keep this slide up here for a moment, I want you to see God is the primary doer in baptism. We've made baptism all about my thing, like what I say, what I do. Baptism is primarily about what God is doing in those waters. In those waters, God adopts you and calls you his child. In those waters, God pronounces his forgiveness over you. In those waters, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are born again. It's what God is doing in those waters. And yes, we're involved in this. How does this work? In baptism, we receive God's promises, and then we emerge with a new proclamation on our lips. Christ is in me, the hope of glory. I am sealed by him in baptism and marked as his own forever. We receive his promises, and then we go to proclaim his name for the rest of our lives. This reminds me of one of my favorite stories of a man named Martin Luther. Martin Luther lived in the 1500s and was the leader of the Protestant Reformation, which is when Christians broke off from the Church of Rome, the Catholic Church. And Luther led this massive movement that has changed the course of history and is in part the reason we are here today. And in the midst of the Reformation, as you can probably imagine, there were a few people who did not like that he was doing this. And so actually they were hunting him, trying to kill him. And he fled for his life, and he had a friend who had a castle. And Luther made his home in the penthouse of this castle, very top. Luther would sit in that castle, lock himself in there in that penthouse, and he would get at his desk, and he would write. He'd have his little inkwell, his little pen, and he would write. He would pray, write theology. Now, in this season, not only does he have great anxiety and great fear because people are literally trying to kill him, but Luther also suffered from demonic attacks, spiritual attacks from the enemy. And as the story goes, one night, Luther is sitting there at his desk, and he's writing. And he starts to have this demonic attack. And he takes the inkwell and he throws it at the wall and it shatters. And Luther yells out to the demon, "I am baptized." What is he doing there? He is looking at Satan and he is declaring that he belongs to Christ. He is declaring Christ and all of the promises of God that he received in his baptism. He is recalling it. He is bringing it back to mind. I am baptized. I am baptized. And think about all the promises that come with that baptism. You have to bring it to mind. You have to proclaim it. And I just want to encourage the person in here, if you have been washed by the waters of baptism and belong to Christ's one holy apostolic church, then you have the promises of God over your life. You have the seal by the Holy Spirit, and you have been marked as Christ's own forever. So friends, when you experience perhaps demonic attack, you look the devil in the face and you proclaim, Christ is in me, the hope of glory. I am baptized. When you are suffering with anxiety and great fear, and you don't know what the next step looks like, you proclaim the mysteries of God that you received in your baptism, that you belong to him. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Perhaps even if you were to fall back into sin, in that moment, you proclaim the promises of God that you received through Christ in your baptism, that I am forgiven, I am a child of God, I am marked as Christ's own forever, and nothing can change that. And then you rise, and you receive the fresh grace of God, restored, redeemed by the power of his love and grace, and even then, friends, you proclaim, Christ is still in me, the hope of glory. You have promises to proclaim. May it be said that we here at the Church of the Cross, we lean into the mystery of God. The mystery of God that has been present, yet hidden for ages and generations, now revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And now we have one message that we proclaim. We proclaim him. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit. Let me pray for us. Almighty God, Lord, we thank you that even we don't see your hand, even we don't feel your hand at work in our lives, Lord, we lean into the mystery and the promises of your word that you are forever present. That you, Almighty Father, are reconciling all things unto yourself through Christ. And Lord, I just pray for the person today who feels like your presence is completely hidden. Would by the power of your Holy Spirit, would you awaken in them this great hope that they have, Lord, that Christ is in them, that you are far more present and active than perhaps we can even perceive. And Lord, I pray, at first, Lord, I give you thanks for the gift of baptism. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone in here that wants to put their faith in you, Jesus, or perhaps has put their faith in you and has not entered the church through the waters of baptism, would you stir in them a desire to enter those waters and to meet you there? Lord, you promise that you meet us in the waters and in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And so, Lord, I pray for all those that are going to be baptized next week in remembrance of their first baptism, the baptism, Lord. I pray that you meet us with fresh grace, that you reveal yourself in a special way, and that as we emerge from the waters, Lord, you would forever put the proclamation of you on our lips. We pray all this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Will you stand and sing with us?